You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. Hello, everybody. It is the audio chat. This is the Fakeologist speaking. It's Tuesday, March 19th, year of our Lord, 2019. We have in the audio chat Alto, a new voice. Fantastic. We love new voices. We have Original Simulant, who is in a birdhouse, joining us. And we also have Napoleon Wilson, who will be in here. Oh, he's here now. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Ahoy, ahoy. Yeah. Hello, hello, hello.
I couldn't hear him, and he's flashing green, but not making any noise.
Alto, can you hear us?
I can hear him.
Oh. We can hear Alto. Hi, Alto. Can you hear us?
No, I can't hear him.
Well, then how did you answer?
You can't
hear him. Let me make sure.
Alto, can you hear us?
Leave the room and come back.
Napoleon's going to go out there and take him behind the shed and get him going.
Alto, say hello.
Yeah, I can't hear him.
Lovely. Alto. Lovely. Great.
Alto, as by way of introduction, as part of the Masonic...
Yeah, I can't. I can see he's flashing green, but he's not making any noise on my side.
Am I? I'm not making any noise?
Is it only Ab that's not making noise?
Yeah, it must be. Ab, if you can leave and come back.
You don't push to talk?
Yeah, I won't push to talk.
No, it's Ab.
I'm not on push to talk. Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
But Alto
can't, okay.
I guess.
I can't Alto hear me.
Maybe you need to leave the room and come back.
No. You want me to go?
No, I'm not. Maybe not. I don't want you to. This isn't like a request.
One, two.
Yeah, two, that's two, it. That's it.
All right.
I can hear you now.
All right.
Hear me now.
Okay. The part of the psychologist initiation is you have to do a bumper. That's our humiliation exercise. So lift up, pull up your left pant leg, take off a shoe, and here we go.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. Read the script. turn the birds off.
I don't mind. I've got my printer going. I can't stop that.
Go ahead. Let me mute here.
Hi, I'm Alto from London. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
All right. Did you say on fakeologist.com?
Yeah.
Did it come through, guys?
No, it sounded good.
All right. You got on the first shot. Okay. We need some clapping sound effects. So Napoleon, cue the arcade player for some clapping.
I'm away from the keyboards for just for the next couple of minutes. And just in the middle of doing something.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, you have a phone now. You can walk around.
I can also urinate, so I'm going back to it.
This new influx of bots is, they're going to enslave us all.
Are you on a keyboard original?
No, I'm on my phone.
All right. Well, we have a new service here. Where if you type in, we have a music service. If you type A play, go to the commands text box, text channel, and you type A play, space applause. We can do sound effects. We can play anything that's on YouTube through that.
Applause by Get Lady Gaga? How do I stop it?
Just type A stop.
Okay.
Oh, thank God.
Just
type A play and applause. Type applause sound effect.
I gotcha.
We're just doing this. We're just having some fun here. So anyone who wants to play some clips from the news while they're in an audio chat, it's a fantastic way we can easily do it.
Trying to figure out A play and applause together is a weird combination.
No, but you gotta be more than a applause sound effect. Otherwise, you're going to Who's that? That sounds like, eight stops. Stop that. All right. You got it on the first crack there. So congratulations, Alto. Can you give us a little background of who you is?
What do you want to know?
Okay, where are you from? How did you find Fakeologist? Are you a Fakeologist? What's your view on the latest HRDPAR? Do you agree with the idea of HRDPAR? And if so, what do you think of the New Zealand mosque event, etc.? That should keep you going for a bit.
All right. I don't know. I guess you just say I'm from London.
London, England. We have a London here in Ontario area.
Okay, of course. Yeah.
It's very small.
Yeah, I don't think I'd sound the same if I was from there.
That's true. Although we do have a lot of... Well, not really anymore. We don't take British in anymore.
Yeah. No one does.
We don't take you guys in.
No, that's why we're closing off.
You're from London, England.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I've been into the whole thing since I was a kid. The whole sort of... realm of maybe it's all just a load of fake shit.
Since you were a kid?
Oh, since 9/11, whatever.
Well, you were a kid at 9/11?
Huh?
You were a kid at 9/11?
Yeah, 13.
Oh, wow. Young, so you're young. We got a young one.
Well, not that
young. No, it's great, isn't it?
Well, 18 plus 13 is 31 by my math. Okay. Well, you're young enough to me. You'd be a young friend if... I met you, which I just did. So you're young. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You kind of grew up.
It was the perfect time.
The conspiracy kind of.
Yeah. And I guess it's kind of like it was the. It's kind of like as the internet's coming up, and you were there early in the internet as a kid, and it was like the kind of, I don't know. I guess it was like the alternative thing.
Really. Yeah,
because it was like a, because you could say stuff to people and it would just get them so like wound up.
What would you say to them?
You just tell them that like, it's all bullshit. It's not what you're being told. You're obviously being lied to, and they're just they just lose their minds over it. They can't.
How did you get so smart about it?
I don't know.
How
isn't
did
it
figured out?
I don't know. Like. Some of it's kind of obvious, though, and I guess also I've had enough of a like. I don't have any specific.
Do you know what I can jump in there because one of the good things is when you one of them things when you're growing up is saying, look, they're not enemies, they're in bed together. The politicians from both sides and things like that. So that was always good. But you seem like the type of guy who, once you've seen that, you didn't think they were colluding. You just went, everything's an act. Because everything's business.
Yeah, but I think, maybe. And also maybe because of, I guess, other things that I guess I was lucky to sort of be born into or whatever, just kind of gives me a bit of a, I don't know, maybe.
Did your parents and/or siblings think this way? Did they?
I'd say my mum is the most sort of anti-establishment sort of. I've talked to my mum about how I sort of, I think the whole space thing's a bit of a scam, and everything else. Yeah. And she can kind of entertain. Yeah, she kind of thinks, maybe it is. It kind of seems like, I don't know, it seems like there's a lot of sort of strangeness going on, and how come all these people in these same clubs and are all these little hand signs they're doing and everything, are they just nothing, or is it more than a coincidence that they're all popping up everywhere, and is it more than a coincidence that sort of there seems to be this sort of occult undercurrent to sort of everything that's like an unspoken
I was trying to play a clip from The Sixth Sense, because I think psychology is a sixth sense
Yeah, maybe.
That certain people have.
The faculty of intuition. You know,
he's the equivalent of having a glass jaw. He's like, you've either got one or not. And he's like, that, you don't know until most people, some people see fakeologists and just spin round and jump right back into the rat race or go to the extremes of, you know, La La Land in the corner. Yeah, all in. All in is funny. It's funny when you see everyone go all in. Because you're trying to, I tell you what is good, explain, just, right, look, we've got a couple of magicians in here anyway, but explain to people that everything is a trick. Jesus Christ, that.
I see dead people. You fucking Christ, that.
I was 10 when we shot it and 11 when it came out. For this scene, I was just sitting in a bed doing the scene with Bruce, and we were in an actual decommissioned hospital. But in my pants.
All right, there you go. That was a good clip.
What do you say?
We can do clips here.
Genius.
Do you remember that scene? Did you watch that movie, Alto?
Yeah, I saw that.
That was a great movie. That was the only good
movie. See, the fakeologist in me wondered why Bruce Willis was kept wearing the same clothes.
I don't remember that part.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't wondering about it that much while I was watching it until the end, where I was like, oh.
No, well, I was at the cinema with her sexy lady.
Said, as soon as I found out there was some kind of twist, I just asked the person who I knew had seen it what it was.
I don't remember. I don't even remember. I got to rewatch that. All right, so you had a sixth sense, and you were aware of the fakery, and when 9/11 hit, was it already figured out in your own mind?
I wasn't figured out, but like, you know, when I saw, I don't want to keep repeating the same thing, but when I saw them, you know, I got home from school and I was watching it on the TV, and when I saw them come down, I instinctively said, oh, that's New World Order. But I don't think I really knew what I was saying then. I just think that, however, like, you know, that whole New World Order term or whatever is just in the zeitgeist and had been around a lot then. Like, you got to think, like, when I was a kid watching...
Is Typo available to come in here, too, and talk a little bit?
What's that?
So can we get Typo in here?
Typo is not allowed in this channel.
Oh yeah, it's a distraction. It's too much of a distraction.
But no, where me and Alto were up to then is he was the perfect age for the Illuminati. Yeah. It was in every cartoon from 1989 onwards.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And everything them 10 years. I mean, I think I was 21 in September the 11th. But I'm 10 years older than Alto anyway. Me, I was on September.
You were?
No, I was. Oh, 23. Just turned 20. 22, 22. Anyway, I was born in 77, so I'm 10 years older than Alto. But even I knew, was aware of the cartoons and the New World Order and all these different things that was being put up there and the programming of bringing down towers.
Yeah, see, I don't think I was consciously aware of it. I was probably starting to get onto the whole sort of thinking of there's something going on here, just in the world in general, that's a bit, something's a bit off. But I wasn't like thinking, this has been all pre-programmed and they've been showing this in cartoons and this has all been foreshadowed and blah, 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 all that shit. But yeah, for whatever reason, as soon as it happened and I saw it, I knew, like, I don't know, I think I've got a kind of, what do you say, practical engineering type sort of background. And I always have since I was a kid, always making stuff and things. So I just, you know, you just know that, like, well, that's not the way that's come down, just doesn't fit the model of physics that's inside of my head. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like reality.
It looks like a movie.
Yeah.
Specifically, Independence Day.
And it's like now with everyone talking about the models and everything, like, I think some of the, like, the early videos, you could see there's a bit of a sort of, it is a bit Tracy Island. There's something going on with it. It's all a bit Captain Scarlet, you know.
It's very much Captain, but only later on when you look back, it's, you know, it's
yeah,
stupid.
I mean, I think some of the, a while ago, I watched something of like some of the close-up shots of, I don't know which tower coming down, and did sort of have a bit of a thought in my mind that that looks a bit like a model, and then I kind of got into the whole like tilt shift lenses and everything else, and sort of thinking about is that what they did, and they kind of used some tilt shift lenses to kind of make it look more real, or like a, whatever the reverse of like a tilt shift lenses and all that shit. But yeah, it's probably all, it's all that sort of, that's the sort of thing that's probably gone on with it.
Yeah. What did you think when you found out that probably, obviously just my opinion, don't think anyone died that day as a result of planes hitting towers or
yeah.
hitting the ground?
Was that easy for you to figure?
Well, I didn't. I mean, the thing is that what happened with me is I'd seen it then when I was a kid and thought, ah, it's bullshit, whatever. But I didn't really look into it that much more until I was about 16, and I sort of had a few months of being kind of manic into it and going crazy. At that point, basically the narrative was, oh, it was done by, you know, by the government to go to war in Iraq and blah, 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 blah. You know, that was kind of the reason.
Soft sell.
Yeah, that was the sell you were given, and, you know, it was thermite or whatever it was. You know, and they blew up Tower 7 because that was where all the sort of the planning had taken place, whatever intelligence agencies and all that bullshit. So they got rid of that. They got rid of the evidence for that. They got rid of the Pentagon accounting because the day before they announced a massive sort of missing, however many fucking,
trillion.
Yeah, trillion, whatever. Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of the thing I was on for a while. Yeah, and then I guess it, like, from then I was kind of into the whole sphere of the whole sort of whatever you want to call it, the conspiracy shit or whatever. And I don't know, I think it just kind of, it got to the point with me where it's just like, it was all kind of getting a bit too, it kind of is too crazy, and it's sort of, it was becoming the core of everything for me. So I just decided, like, I just put it down and leave it. And you sort of, right. you just...
What, move what year was this? Was this after or before the documentaries you were talking about? Is this...
That's like the early documentaries. That's like up to
that,
about,
that's what I mean, is it?
Loose Change.
Got you.
Like, because before Loose Change, there was like, you know, when it first happened, there were just like, there were videos about...
Pods on the planes.
YouTube, yeah, pods on the planes, yeah, exactly. And the planes are military planes and all this sort of other weird shit. But there wasn't really anything about the... No planes. There wasn't.
But that went hand in hand with the UFO thing. That's why I always remembered. Look at this, because then they'd say, "Well, look at, you know," and it was the same crowd. That was the UFO thing.
And
that was always, you know, the.
Yeah, I was never into like the UFO thing at all, really, either.
No,
so I guess,
me neither. I never liked UFO. That's just nuts for me.
Well, it does prove that Ab keeps his eye on the road because he never looks up.
No. I barely look at the road.
Doesn't need to anymore.
Yeah, yeah, you know, these cars. Intelligent cars. Did you... yes, go ahead.
No, I guess, yeah, like, you get to the point where, or at least I got to the point where I was like, well, you kind of just accept it's all bullshit. I've been reading all this fucking Orwell and stuff since I was a kid, so I already think it's all... Know, all a big control system and everything, and then you can't. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? So you just sort of try to live your life and not get too wound up with it. And it makes things difficult with everyone as well. You know, because I'm either going to be constantly talking to about it with people and they get upset, or I'm having to like bite my tongue all the time and just agree with what I think is just a load of bullshit. And it's, I don't know, I just kind of. Makes it easier just to go back into it and just, you know, play along. Well, not play along, but just don't really pay any attention to it. Don't watch any TV. Don't really consume much media or anything. And, you know.
Yeah.
But
so
the news
was never real to you.
I tell you what, I remember when we went to, what age was I? I was probably about like 15 or something. We went to New York, right? And okay. I'd, I'd see like the like CNN and stuff like that, like the American news, and I was like, how the fuck can these people watch this? It's just such, it's like I'm watching a really bad drama or something.
It depends on the channel, but at that time, Fox News and CNN were the top news agencies, and I call them news entertainment.
Yeah, but it's so, like, the presentation was always so, like, dramatic and, like, wow, like, you know, really trying to sell you on stuff, and it's just, I don't know, I just never really bought it, so, yeah, I guess that's just another thing about it, and then, I don't know, you kind of drift, I was drifting in and out of it, and, you know, like, something big would happen, some sort of big event would happen, and then you'd sort of go, look into it a bit, and then you realize, oh, yeah, that's probably some, you know, it's a, for ages, everything to me just seemed like, oh, it's all a false flag. It's all a false flag to push, you know, to go and, you know, have a war, you know, the war economy goes on, blah, 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 military industrial complex, all that bullshit. I even went into like the whole thing of, you know, listening to all these podcasts and stuff and Rogan and all that shit. And then sort of getting to a point with that stuff, realizing that like, oh, this is all controlled. And he's just a load of bullshit, and then not listening to that anymore, and then sort of after like a few years of just being off it, going back into it and kind of even forgetting all of that, that, well, I've worked out it's all bullshit, and you kind of get sucked back into it again for a few years.
Yeah man, the wicker man.
Yeah.
How did you end up jumping in the field?
Well, this is all like, what kicked me off again for like the most recent time of being back in the sort of, in the mindset of it or whatever, or not in the mindset, because I'm kind of always, maybe always have been, but actually bothering to put any time into it or whatever, is that Vegas shooting, when that happened, and I, you know, that was one of the big ones that just kind of got me way back into it again, and I just, yeah, I've kind of been sort of, I think, maybe a few months after the Vegas thing, that's when I found all the Fakeologist shit. I think before that I'd been on Fakeologist before, but I was probably sort of still in the point where like I took one look at the site layout and I was like, ah, nah.
Yeah, it's not the best.
Yeah.
It's not the best layout, I'm sorry.
It's better now. It's better now after recently. Yeah, because hasn't it been updated recently, no?
Not really. Not really.
Maybe I'm just not amused
maybe
it now.
It looks better to you because you're more interested. But no, I haven't done a whole heck of a lot. It is sort of messy. One day I'll sit down and try and fix it a little more, make it a little more clear, make the donate button bigger, etc.
Yeah.
That's my number one improvement. Okay, that's cool. Did you ever watch September Clues for 9/11?
I only watched that after listening to like all the like Fakeologist stuff, because that's what, you know, I sort of started listening to the, basically what started to happen was all the podcasts I was listening to, I just thought, ah, they're all bollocks, it's all a big just control system, and I don't start looking for other stuff, and then I found that.
You needed some real radical opposition.
Yeah. I needed something to really piss people off. And everyone was going on about everyone. You wouldn't hear a podcast without someone talking about September Clues. So, yeah.
Really?
I watched that. Yeah, not well, at that time, anyway.
Well, people are actually recommending it, or?
You know, people are always talking about it, though. It's referenced all the time, isn't it? Because it's the one that kind of, is one that kind of shows that
it is the key. It's the key.
Yeah, it's the
skeleton key, as they say.
Hmm.
I see.
Well, as me and Alto were saying, the first time I watched September Clues, what I got from it straight away was the fact that there was no planes. You know, straight away.
Yeah, because you always thought that. Well, me anyway. I'd always thought that there's planes, or there's at least like a missile or something.
Yes, missile. And unfortunately, September Clues still has the missile question. I think he put one text in once, questioning, was it a missile? Of course, everyone says, oh, go take that out and redo the movie, because that's really misleading. But, well,
Yeah, but also, can you, draw that, you can't definitely count that out, can you?
Yes, you can.
Well, no, no, it is.
I don't, this is the thing.
You can't count out that people, you can't count out that there was an explosion at the top of the towers, right?
Yeah,
so someone could have looked up and seen something.
Yeah, but who
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm not saying
they tell anyone. I'm just saying you know someone would there would have been someone at one point.
Why do you need to make an explosion for one person?
No, you don't need to fake an explosion. You're going to have an explosion anyway.
Why do you need to have an initial explosion at all? Why?
So that you'll have a visual aid to get people to evacuate the area.
All your visual aids are on the television.
But there's some people who are in. If some fella come up to me in New York City.
I don't think they needed any explosion. It was totally unnecessary.
Right. Well, here we go. Then you're just about to go and visit the Twin Towers. You're on your way there, right? You're 10 minutes away, and the police.
The area is closed away, and it's evacuated.
I know. But what I'm saying is, you're still 10 minutes away. You've got 10 minutes before you actually get to the area before they've evacuated it, right? So I don't mean they've closed it off for the day. What I mean is, the area that was closed off probably 12, 15 hours before, you've not got to the boundaries of that yet.
They were doing drills the day before, I believe, or the night. We're setting up the next morning.
And also it was polling day, it's Pancake Tuesday, I'm on a joke. Anyway, cut a long story short, you've got someone there saying, no, you can't come to the Twin Towers. You say, why? He says, well, the reason being is because we've had a plane fly into it. And then you look up and you don't see anything.
No. I know we've established you don't look up. Why would they build a story for five people? It's totally unnecessary. They just say you can't go in there. Goodbye.
You're still miles away. You're still 3 miles away from Manhattan.
People from miles around can see the building. So when the first one's been hit and everyone's attention is on those two towers.
Okay, there could have been a smoke and a fire set for sure. But you don't have to have a missile. You don't have to have an explosion.
No, you don't have to have a missile. What I'm saying is you have an explosion from the inside of the building outwards. And then someone's seeing something.
You would only see a flash of an object and an explosion. Or so worth of smoke. So you would need that, but you wouldn't even have needed an explosion. But, you know, if they are blowing up the building, there would have been some explosion.
Exactly. So you need something even from 2 miles away that you can say to someone, no, there's been a blah, blah,
really,
blah.
You would have needed a smoke machine to create the smoke. To simulate a fire. I agree with that, because that was going for an hour, so anyone who went to look on the TV that might have looked across the river would have needed to see that probably. Yeah, I can see that.
That's all pyrotechnics, but somebody would have seen the first pyrotechnics, all I'm saying is that there would have been someone in the area looking at the towers when the initial pyrotechnic went off.
But again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if someone...
Yes.
They didn't need an eyewitness, a real eyewitness. They had plenty of fake ones. They didn't need a real eyewitness.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying you need a real eyewitness. I'm just saying someone would have seen an initial thing anyway, even if it was lost in the fake, the lie witnesses. But you were saying they didn't need an initial explosion because they've seen it on TV.
Well,
and I was saying, no, they needed to have an initial one. You must have.
Well, if there really was a hole in the real building, but I wasn't, I don't know.
No, but that's what I mean. That could lead someone to say they think they saw a missile.
In the building. There's no one to call.
Right, so. I give up. Go on, carry on.
They know there's no way to. We couldn't call anyone and say, were you really there? Did you see a hole? There's no one anyone can call. No way to prove they're telling the truth. So they don't need that person, ever.
No, I know. I was just referring to the Simon Shack video where it says someone said they saw a missile. That person could have seen the initial pyrotechnic. That's all I'm saying.
Again, not going to put a real person in the video, ever.
No, that's true.
They're not.
That's true. Wait, wouldn't you? You're not going to use real buildings to collapse. You're not going to use real people.
How would they find him? Who's he going to call? Is he going to call ABC and say, "Hi, I got a story for you"? Come on, it's scripted.
Yeah, no.
They're not going to use any random person for any reason. Totally unnecessary because they have the script. They can get anyone to read it.
Yeah.
People get someone they like.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Lines, someone that is clear, speaks clearly, that kind of thing.
Well, yes. Anyway, go back to Alto now. I was just talking. Sorry. There you go.
All right.
Well, don't be picking on me.
I wanted to make that clear. I just wanted to make that clear because it's sort of an important, it is an important point.
Yeah. Oh, it's everything we've seen, we see on any documentary to do September 11th, anything on YouTube, anything, it is 100% faked, controlled, and probably manufactured before the event.
Go ahead, Alto. Sorry to interrupt. So you watched it? You enjoyed it?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like, how much does that matter anyway? Because, you know, it's kind of like once you've kind of got to the point of, well, it's all, the whole thing's bullshit anyway. So it doesn't really matter how they made the bullshit. It's bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What do you think of the other big key to understanding the whole thing is the victim idea, the simulated victim. No matter how they simulated them, no matter how
I think if you're going to do it, why not kill a load of people?
Oh.
Why not?
Okay.
Because who's
killing is messy.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Not if you're going to do that. Killing a few people is nothing, is it? If you're gonna perpetrate a sort of a fraud on that level, what's a few dead people?
No. How do you kill the right people? Or you're just saying you kill anybody?
It doesn't matter who you kill, does it? You kill them. You give the people the story of what it was, and everyone thinks, oh, they died because some terrorist flew a plane into the building. You know.
You think that it's okay, or they wouldn't care if they killed 3,000 people. That's
no, of course they wouldn't, man. They don't care about that. If they cared about that, they wouldn't have done it in the first place, would they?
No, I don't think that's true. I think there's too many. It's hard to get people to agree to kill people.
If you're prepared to lie to the whole world on that sort of scale, you're clearly a complete psychopath. So why would you care?
You're not a killer.
But I don't see why you'd care.
I don't think they're on the same level of debauchery or criminality. Killing and lying are way far apart.
I mean,
do you buy into the victim report in any way, or you don't buy into that?
I haven't really spent that much time looking into it, because to me.
So, for instance, by your logic, then the New Zealand mosque, you think that it wouldn't matter if they lined up 50 of their least favorite Muslims and started shooting at them?
No, sorry, I just smashed my amp up. Sorry, I didn't hear anything.
All right.
You saying, do I buy into the?
Well, with another PSYOP, with another HRDPR in New Zealand, do you think since they don't care about lying and all the effects, do you think they would have filled a mosque up with real people and shot them?
I mean, I don't see why not.
Oh, okay.
But,
all right. Well, to me, there's a big difference in scale and intensity and criminality.
Yeah, see, I think they're beyond criminality. I don't think that. Do you know what I mean? I think you're trying to sort of apply rules of what is believed to be the sort of rational world to this sort of completely irrational phenomenon or whatever it is, and like we don't even know what it is anyway, really. You know, we don't like, and you never will know. You'll never know the true nature of what this whole thing is. So I don't.
Yes, we do. It's Dracula in the big castle, and we're all going to go and get him.
Yeah. We're going to get
him. So you have a darker view of the perps. Your view of the
perps
is much darker than mine.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't stand out as odd to me compared to other dark stuff I've seen. So I don't, you know, it wouldn't surprise. Basically, it wouldn't surprise me at all. It seems like a lot of work to do all the faking and everything else when you could just have, you know, these people that just sort of, these regular people, they reckon they're going to their job or whatever on that, you know, who cares about a few waiters
but
working
in
the
place? You think it's harder to fake it than it is to actually kill people and deal with the never-ending consequences of the people that they leave behind, their families.
Yeah, because the people, so say you've got these left-behind families, right? What do the left-behind families think en masse? They believe the story. You know, they don't... Those families are so traumatized. They don't want to start to think that, they've already been given their bad guy, and they've been programmed their whole life to think that that guy is the bad guy already, and then they've just given them, hey, this terrorist guy that killed your kid or whatever, and, why not? They're just going to jump on it, yeah. I mean, there's an equal, I'd say that to me, it's easier to just kill the people than it is to do all this work to try and fake all this, you know, you've got to have, at the end of the day, you need to make it real, seem real, because you need bodies to go and give to people and stuff, and people, you know, these victims have got to go to the mortuary and everything, haven't they?
No, they can go to the simulated mortuary. We don't ever see the bodies most of the time. That last
one, where they show
these beanbags dressed up as people, that was one of the rare occasions. That's why this one fooled a lot of people right away. Upon inspection, I don't think fooled by it in our community.
Yeah, I know what everyone's sort of been saying. I mean, and it's like the thing where everyone's saying, oh, they're piled up in the corner before he even goes in the room. I don't know if I really like going through it frame by frame if it necessarily looks like they were piled up. To me, it's like, I don't know, I've sort of watched it about 10 times, I reckon, that actual shooting bit. You know, I've watched it probably 10 times over from when he goes in, and it kind of looks like they're just, people just kind of dive in the corner, and they're cowering and filling around, and some of them are moving around in there in the pile. And,
I didn't see much movement, but maybe you look more closely.
I mean, there is a bit of...
Yeah, you do at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
so, because people that are immediately saying, oh, he comes in the room and they're all dead already, like, no, I don't think they are. Like, there's people moving there and stuff. There's not just, you know, it's not just literally a pile that he's shooting into. There's people moving, and there's people moving as they're getting shot. Well, at least from what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the video, I was told the video was disabled on my site, but I still see statistics that it was viewed. So I don't even know if it's available on my site anymore. Because I don't know.
Yeah, I just downloaded it as soon as I got my hands on it. So.
Oh, you downloaded it? Where did you find it? Just on one of the...
I think, where was it? I can't remember.
You better pack your trunks because they're going to come arrest you and take you to New Zealand.
Yeah, sure they will.
No, you have to be in New Zealand to be arrested, don't you? That's what Vinny Eastwood
did. Oh, they're not going to come over and arrest us.
Vinny
Eastwood. No, New Zealand.
They're going to arrest me for having a little first person shooter game as well.
Well, yeah, I was going to say they'll have to arrest all the companies that produce these violent first person shooter video games because they're just as bad.
Oh, there's stuff that happened. There's stuff that happened that when he goes in there that is almost scene for scene from one of the COD games.
But he called it a COD game?
COD, Call of Duty.
Oh, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't play video games. The last one I played
was
on my Atari. I played Adventure. That was in 1981.
That was a ripoff of Indiana Jones, wasn't it?
It's like there's a few things with this New Zealand one where, like, you know, people saying, oh, he's shooting through the windscreen and it doesn't crack. Like, well, I'm pretty sure you can see cracks in the screen. It's such low resolution, it's hard to see. Yeah. But if you go further through the video towards the end, You know, I put ages ago in the chat.
Well, windscreens are supposed to be safety glass, you know.
Yeah, they're laminated, aren't they? They're laminated. They're two layers of glass laminated. Like, if you go and look at some videos on YouTube of shooting buckshot through a windshield, yeah, you see what it looks like. You won't see, you'll just see the holes where it's gone through. It'll be shattered a little bit around the holes, but the rest of the screen is pretty much intact.
Yeah. I had a rock almost go through once.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It just sort of sits in the plastic.
Well, the rocks bounce off, but yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Like,
quite a ride on this this mosque event, that's for sure. It's woke this community.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Because the other thing is as well with, like, people saying the brass is disappearing. Maybe it is, but also, like, it's too lower resolution video to actually say things like that, I think.
Alright.
Unless you're some expert video analyst and you really know what you're talking about, but just from looking at it...
I don't think we need to appeal to authority. There's a lot of logic that's missing from these videos.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, people saying, oh, there's no recoil on the shotgun. Like, to me, what it looks like there is. To me, it looks like when he drives over the woman at the end, it does bump over her. That's what it looks like to me. But I don't it's definitely legit. It just looks legit. And it's also that people saying that it's not legit because of these points, I don't think they're correct on the points they're bringing up. You know what I mean? So I'm like, all you're doing by saying this stuff is revealing your ignorance, because I don't think you're right, and I think if you actually pay attention to it, go watch it 10 times and tell me if you still think the same thing. Because I don't
You're right there with what you said, but it didn't sit right. But it does. It is right there because I've seen the same thing. The windscreen does come apart. There is obviously a lot of fucking weird stuff going on, but nevertheless, some of the points are on point. Pardon the pun. You know what I mean?
Some of them are, but the problem is people saying stuff like, "Oh, the windscreen doesn't break," and they're saying it as if they know for definite, and it's like, mate, you haven't even caught what I've caught. So why should I believe what you're saying?
Yeah, I've seen the windscreen break. So I think the second shot you see the slither go across and it falls away, doesn't it? You know.
What you see? You know, you see one of the cartridges.
You see a large piece of the windscreen.
Oh right, okay.
Missing.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it sort of breaks off at the bottom where it's attached with the rubber.
You're shooting quite low over the screen.
Yeah. So I mean, if you've watched it, but the stupid thing. It's not stupid. I don't even know why I started that way. It's going to be fake. These points that people are pointing out are obviously wrong. If you've seen the video, you've picked up on it, and you ask on it, it does show people's ignorance if they straight away jump on things. But we see that on the internet anyway, with arguments for and against all these weird conspiracies we've got.
And everyone's so hoax fatigued. Everyone just auto hoaxes on everything. And every single thing that happens in it is, oh, that's definitely that, that's definitely this. And, you know, everyone's desperate to jump to the, oh, look, I saw that this is wrong before anyone else. You know, so they'll make any sort of claim where there's any bit of grey and say, this is fake because of that. And it's like, well, hold on, I don't see what you're seeing there. So are you some sort of... Are you, like, controlled opposition or something? Are you sort of trying to lead me down some other narrative? Yeah, are you some intentional friction? Exactly. This is why I've been listening to this for, like, 8 months. I'm kind of like, do I even bother coming on here to speak to anyone? Because what is it?
Yeah.
How do I know who you are? I don't, do I? You know.
Nope. Although I'm sure after a while you work out I'm the loudmouth one.
I know. It doesn't, you know, when
no, that could still be a character. I'm just the loudmouth character. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hey.
I just, like, with all my
mates around, a good looking one.
Manchester.
I know. Do you know what? I walk through the courtyard every day of the fucking Harry Potter land. It's brilliant.
What do people that live in the City of London think of people that live in Manchester? Let's get our cards on the table.
They're probably just all Northern Monkeys, aren't they?
Northern Monkeys.
I knew it.
Northern Monkeys.
Not really.
No, it's great. We're slap bang in the middle, you see, but we're not Liverpoolian, thank God.
They're the worst.
Yeah, they're not, though. I think the women are sexy as hell. Something to do with the voice, but it's an acquired taste.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you'll never meet anyone funnier than a Liverpoolian. Sorry, yeah.
There's
a lot of rivalry among the island, I guess. Your small little island, they have pockets of...
Yeah, the smaller you make it, the more het up they get.
Yeah. Yeah, but we all hate, like, the fucking people from down south, the fucking... farmers who are, you know, they're all fucking backwards. No, like, that's the same with these, like the Midlands. There you go, then you say so. That's why you moved.
No, I do quite like it. At least you get to shoot there, at least, so, you know.
That's true. Imagine you can get away with murder now in the countryside. My mate's got a. Well, I'm alive, aren't we?
The less said, the better.
No, but he's got a lake in his back garden, which is, you know, National Trust land. And literally, he can go out just on his boat and fish. And just, you know, it's National Trust. It's like there's no one about. Yeah, I can eat like a king, you know.
All right, let's get back into Fakeology.
Yes, let's.
I shouldn't have brought that up. It's my fault.
Well, let me put this to Alto. Seeing as you know it was a trick, wouldn't it fail if anybody died? Because there's more to this trick than propaganda, you know. And seeing as we know how corrupt they are, they could kill people anyway. So why bother to risk it by putting them in this big trick?
Yeah.
How about that?
Because it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what they do, they're going to get away with it regardless. So why even go to the effort? I don't understand why you'd bother. You know, if I was one of
I'm just seeing visions of the end of Fight Club, though. You know what I mean? Of people being sat in the building and the rest of it blowing up around them. Similar.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, why not have a bit of sacrifice in with it? You know, if you're going to do it,
Satanism. Yes, well, the evilness is that real?
You think they killed Lady Di?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I got no idea. Is it just the character that gets taken out of the, you know, taken off the stage? I have no idea. But I just...
That would make her a victim, then.
But does it... why does that matter? You know, when you're on that level, when you're that sort of that high up the pyramid, basically.
I don't think people on the top are allowed to kill either.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I've known people that have, well, they, you know, people that have been in the military, and at least they'll say they've killed people, so, you know. Jedi's
don't die, they disappear.
Yeah.
You know? We were talking about Star Wars earlier. It's an altruistic thing. And there must be a rule at the top. Yeah, well, that was my programming.
Why must there be? All of this is like kind of trying to find some silver lining in it. Do you know what I mean? Trying to find some, people didn't die and all this, like, why?
It's the silver screen, man. There is a silver lining. That's what it is. This is all trickery.
Yeah.
No, I know, but if you're doing a trick, I don't see why you can't have people die in the trick. You're is there an element of blood sacrifice within the trick? Why not?
No. Because there's real consequences if you kill people. What else do we have in this world that matters?
Right, so,
thing that matters.
So the consequences for
hold on.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
There, I just inserted some NLP in that.
All right, I think I'll probably have to make a donation before the old kicks in. It's not worth anything.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, okay. So you're saying all the consequences for killing people. Well, what about the consequences of perpetrating this sort of massive fraud? On, you know, how many people will sort of go out and do some violent act because of what they believe happened? You know, like the societal repercussions of doing this sort of trick. Like the repercussions to me seem worse than the death of 3,000 people. You know, so I don't see why not kill them when the repercussions are even worse.
Well, how about if September the 11th was the final step in what would have inevitably happened with when you introduce spies and espionage in wartime? After that dies, you're going to have to invent an enemy. Whether or not you believe war was real or fake, if you invent these groups that are meant to be spying on each other, once the war's end, they're gonna create these things. So it was inevitable that there was going to be some kind of, obviously it was set up this way, but instead, they sacrificed people all over the shop. I don't believe this trick anyone would have died in. This is totally different. Do you know what I mean? If there was no planes, no one died. If the buildings were hollow, empty, whatever wording you want to use, you're not going to kill people. If you're stopping people going there, you're going to stop them from. Well, and the filming of the demolition, when they film it from the ground looking up, you've already said it looks like models. I believe it to be models. Then they explode it downwards. You know, you wouldn't have people filming that or let people there if you didn't want them to get hurt. Do you know what I mean? There's all these things pointing to it was actually one of the safest places to be on the planet at the time.
I don't know. So say you've got some guy that's a waiter that was working on the Windows of the World or whatever the restaurant was called, right? So what, you have all these waiters and stuff and you don't let them in on the day. So how are they not going to, so no one's going to say anything, are they?
Who are they going to call?
They'll just, you know, word will get out. Someone will get a video of them saying something, you know, something.
Where are they? Who's going to believe them?
Yeah, not many people will believe them. No one's going to believe that bloody no planes hit it either, but it's still out
there. They haven't called in the fakeologists yet. We haven't had anyone call in.
Yeah, because it's bloody impossible to find, mate.
Yeah, it isn't easy, you're right.
About 10 years of searching, so you can get to it.
Yeah, it's probably pretty hard, but
I wouldn't hire real people.
If you think of it logically, it's pretty hard to call.
I mean, so then, I mean, yeah, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that from the very, like, the place is obviously, from the start, is built to come down. So, yeah, does that mean that everyone that's hired there is on the in as well? So,
well, I mean, I posted a couple of videos where if you were visiting the Twin Towers, they took your picture automatically. You stood there, they took your picture, and win, lose, or draw, you were getting your picture taken. They were asking how many were in your party, and you were getting in the express elevators and going up to the top via however many different stops.
Yeah. Whole trail of, like, who's
I mean, we know people, you see, this is the funny thing, you know, when you hear about people living in lofts, I don't believe that for an instant. You know, people that no one knew, just knew food was missing. That's bullshit. So if anyone's fell for that crap, that's bollocks.
Yeah.
It's none of this. Do you know what I mean? This is all as if to say, oh, look, people can do this. No. No. Things aren't safe-knit. But like you say there, if they did hire real people, which I'm sure they did for the towers in lots of different aspects, and these people look like real people who were working in these videos, then you're just going to allow certain access to certain floors. So, you know, that can be... I don't know. I really don't know. I know the Twin Towers had their own fire people, didn't they?
I don't know that. How do you know that?
Yeah, yeah. Put that in. I think I pinned it somewhere. But if you could just type it in for Twin Towers Fire Department. They had their own fire department. And
where do they park?
I'm unsure. I'll tell you what. I'll Google it now.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was in the building.
I live in a city with lots of skyscrapers. None of them have their own fire department. That's insane. Why would they have one fire department for one building or two buildings?
No, they have their own private one.
Yeah, why?
Because the whole thing is a stage, isn't it? So they've got to have their own little thing.
That doesn't make any sense at all. A building that has their own fire department with fire engines and a fire station and a fire pole and a fire dog? Come on.
No, they don't have literally all of that stuff, but they've got a team.
You'll be fire marshals on it. From memory. Every floor has a fire marshal appointed.
Who works in a company that might have the safety plan they have to go through now and then.
How many floors were in the Twin Towers? Right, so some of these floors aren't real.
110?
If some of the floors are not real, right, but you go to a meeting and there's 100 fucking fire marshals, then obviously some of them are going to be working for the guys who bring it down.
We're arguing about nothing.
I'm just saying they had their own fire department, that's all. Inside the building. That's what it was classed as, anyway.
That seems insane. We got lots of big towers here, 70, 80 stories tall here. They don't have their own fire department. They barely have a shipping clerk in the basement in the loading dock. I've been in all these buildings here. Toronto might not be as big, but it's big.
Yeah, but they're not designed to come down either, are they?
That's true. Anyway, I'll find it. Carry on talking. Anyway. But yeah, I personally think it would have failed if you did see like legs and feet that flying down the street on that day, because it wouldn't have fit in with the video they were showing us.
I don't think people would even. Who's going to notice? You know, if people don't notice that a fucking building has come down. Like in a completely impossible manner. How the fuck are they gonna? Do you know what I mean? What? It's already so far beyond the realms of what, like, actual observable known reality, and no one's even questioning it. So why do you think people are gonna start questioning it just because they see a few limbs and stuff like that? I mean, I don't know. I'm just not. You know, I don't see. You know, there's things to me that are concrete about it. Right, and then there's things to me that are just so many different shades of grey, and I don't see how anyone can make a definite argument either side of there were people in there or they weren't, because to me it doesn't. When you're on the level of doing something like this, and it's that, and you have that amount of control, to me I don't see why it matters.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a half glasses half empty, half full kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe. Say this. It's at least you can say that it was used as a sort of bit of a pretext for Iraq and Afghanistan, right? Guys have gone over there. Whether you think that the war is real or fake. Folks have gone over there with limbs and got them blown off and come back, you know. And some blokes gone over there and died. So there's still death has been a resultant action of this whatever this thing is, right?
Yes.
You know,
I agree with that. I think that's real. I think
Yeah, and those deaths probably wouldn't have occurred if this event hadn't have happened in the first place. So, and whoever's instigated that event, they know that the aftermath of this event is going to lead to these wars and whatever else, and these people will die and be injured in it. So they're okay with the people going abroad and fighting some made up fucking war and dying over there. But what? They don't want to kill anyone over here. To me, it's like, what's the difference?
No, that's not a bad point you're making. It's not bad.
I just, I just, you're if you're, like, me, if you're, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, if you're making this sort of, like, an argument that there's this kind of, this grand sort of spiritual law that they're adhering to and everything else, well then how come they're sort of, they can do it, sometimes it's okay and sometimes it isn't. I think it's just, basically, it's essentially just pure evil, and pure evil doesn't care if how many people die. It doesn't care.
That's true.
Interesting perspective. I don't buy it, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I'll buy people are evil, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I buy it. I've seen it.
Right, sir. Yeah, not all the time, though. But yeah, in general, they can be.
It's a very small minority of people that are, you know, that bad. But, it doesn't mean that they don't kill people just because it's a small minority, you know. And,
true.
Yeah, these people with ultimate power, why would they, I just don't understand why they would care, you know. To them, to someone like that, of that mindset, you know, the general person on the street is as significant as some insect. I don't even give a second thought if I, you know, I walk through the garden and I kill some insects. I'm not even thinking about it. So why would they think
about it? I let spiders live.
Yeah, sometimes. It depends what they're doing.
I always let them live. They eat mosquitoes. I don't like them.
Yeah, yeah. But,
I can't. I mean,
that's my perspective, you know. It doesn't mean that they definitely did. And yeah, I hear some of the arguments for why you wouldn't and why, you know, I can kind of get the perspective of someone thinking why it's easier just to stage the whole thing. But to me, I also kind of think, like, I don't know, you have to blend some reality and some reality of consequence in with the stage show. And it's kind of like the sort of the melding of the two kind of makes it the trick.
Okay. I don't believe that. I think that would make things a lot more complicated, more consequences. Real people do real things and therefore be a huge problem, and there's no need for it. Despite the fact that you say they are all powerful.
So what's the need for doing the thing in the first place?
Well, there's a million reasons why they pull off these HRD PARs. We've discussed that ad nauseum on the blog and all over the place.
Yeah, so why is there not a million reasons why you just say, yeah, just kill them as well? Who cares?
Well, I think we're going around in circles now. I'm saying one thing, another.
But yeah. I'm just saying, like, you're saying the consequences, right, of, you know, if people did die, the consequences and the fallout, right? But at the same time, you'll say that, you know, if there was a real guy up there and he speaks, who would know? How would it get out? Well, if there were real consequences, how would they get out then?
What is your opinion on the solar system? Do you have any thoughts on those ideas?
Yeah, I think the whole thing's a big old brainwash. Basically,
okay.
I think I basically sort of at the moment think that the whole thing is basically a deception. You know, all of your schooling and everything else, all of the social conditioning that you get, and yeah, I think it's all whatever the truth.
Oh, what do you think of space?
I don't think so. I used to be, you know,
the
I used
moon
to,
even something you can go to.
I don't think it's something you can go to anymore. No.
No. I think the moon is closer to.
I think it's closer. I think the sun is closer.
Moon show.
Yeah,
the moon is more of a illuminated something or other compared to a big rock flying around in the sky.
No, yes, like 238,000 miles away, and yeah, I'm just not really buying that anymore. I have a big problem with the sort of the combined motions that we're given and the different velocities, and they're all on elliptical paths, and like, yeah. surely we're going to be able to detect differences in angular acceleration, and it's going to be really simple to prove. And it's funny that you search and you search and you search for it, and there's just not, like, there should be a glut of evidence. It should be beyond even questioning, but like, you search for it and it doesn't seem to be there just as clearly and obviously as it should be.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Simon Shack's Tycho's model helps explain the lights in the sky and their motion? Have you ever looked into that? And do you give Simon any benefit of the doubt for being the inventor to move on to creating a solar model, binary solar system, the Tycho's model?
I mean, I'm not sure because, like, have you seen the recent Crow stuff?
No. Okay. I do listen to some of the stuff, but...
Yeah, because with him, I kind of think, what is he? Is he sort of, you know...
Misdirection?
Is he misdirection? And what he's saying recently is kind of maybe feeding into this whole binary star thing as well. And people...
Oh, is he really talking that way?
Yeah,
he's got
a
Simon on then.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, I just think, well, is this just the sort of... These two narratives are starting to come together, and sort of these two guys are the right and left hand, and they're going to bring these two different audiences together, and you know, everyone's going to sort of come together in the middle and go, oh yeah, we know the answers of where we are now, you know, we know what the system is. I think with all of this stuff, you're never really going to know. You know, I don't think you're going to get to know.
Well, carry on talking about space. I'm enchanted.
Okay, right. Well, okay. Here's one of the things that always got me for quite a while was how does the sort of the how does space have a 10 to the minus 7 to 10 to the minus 4 or even greater vacuum next to a sort of just a next to a gas with no barrier. It's never. It's never that right with me.
And no wall.
No. And at what point in the creation of the Earth, if you believe the Big Bang model, I've got some big problems with the whole Big Bang thing based on the red and blue shift as well. But I'll say that after. But at what point in the formation of the Earth? What was there some like big outgassing process, and at what sort of what point are you saying that you had this sort of mass floating in space, exposed to like this huge vacuum? I don't know if you have any experience with vacuum, but like
I am a cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't see how the whole how does the system come about? How are the elements that are light enough that they will float, they can overcome gravity and leave the Earth?
That's one of them paper tigers you were talking about, isn't it? Yeah. Dick, I can understand why you are so yeah.
How is any of that even present then? If it like how does any of it stay on the Earth? Because there must have been some point where there was no atmosphere, and how did it begin to form with any of the lighter gases, or any of the gases that are light enough to sort of overcome the force of gravity and leave the
millions of years with centripetal force?
It's just fantastic speculation is all you get, and then now they're going to tell you that. Oh, we're basing all of this Big Bang on we're studying the red and blue shift of light, and we're saying basically all built on the idea that there's a Doppler shift in sound, and light is also a wave, even though it has a particle and wave duality, and let's say there's a Doppler shift in light as well. Okay, is there an experiment that proves Doppler shift in light? Because
we got the double slit, haven't we, man? They assume, don't they?
Yeah, but the double slit is particle and wave duality. It's not Doppler effect, is it? Where's the
that's experiment? If you believe that.
Yeah.
That's if you believe that experiment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
back to the redshift is perfect circular reasoning as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the Big Bang exists because of this. How do you know this exists? Because of the Big Bang. It's expanding. And that's how we distance the grooves on a record.
How about the shape of the Earth? What is your take on that?
Yeah, I'm skeptical about the whole thing. I don't know. I can't know. If I take a sort of a bit of a esoteric symbolic approach to it, I'd say that, oh, the globe's definitely a deception, and they're putting it in your face through all their symbolism that it's a deception. So even in all of the architecture is littered with the images of a flat plane with a dome over the top. They're giving us all these pillars of the firmament and stuff in all of the architecture. I just think that to what degree is the whole thing a big psyop, or is it potentially a truth that is then has to be sort of ridiculed and then sort of veiled within an op, so that even when people think that they, like, oh yeah, I've found this thing that I believe to be the truth about the shape of where I am, then they start second guessing themselves and thinking, oh no, I've been tricked and sucked into this other big sort of thing. And there's so many, you know, within the whole movement, there's so many people, you know, the whole Patricia Steer and all those other tossers, they've all got a bit of the control of opposition about them, and nothing seems quite organic, and all they do is harp on the same points. They don't lead anywhere. They don't develop anything. They don't.
Yeah.
All they do is just.
They do a lot of talk about NASA fakery. They talk more about NASA fakery than they do about anything about the flat Earth. So that over the years, Simon is really to be right. Now, it's in my mind, but it's still not really explaining some of the things about the shape of the Earth where we don't see a curve, that kind of thing.
I've done my own little sort of, you know, you're going out and looking across water and sort of seeing, you know, that's the thing that kicked it off for me first was, I hate the water finds its own level argument, because that's the dumbest shit. That just shows that you have no understanding of what they're saying gravity is in the first place anyway. If you're saying water, it doesn't, you know, it's a moot point if you ask me. But the actual missing curvature stuff, there's something there to that. And there's also, have you ever heard the whole argument that basically the way the diameter of the Earth, let's say that you're creating this, the globe model. The way that that model has been created is with an understanding of the way in which the eye, like the angular resolution the eye is able to render. And if you have an understanding of the angular resolution of the eye, which is supposed to be like something like 0.03 arc minutes or whatever, I can't remember the measurement of angle. But if you have an understanding of that angular resolution the eye is able to resolve, you would set the Earth, given the average human height, to be whatever the given radius is, or the given diameter is of, what's it, 24,000 or 25, whatever, I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Just shy of 25.
Yeah. So that, you know, so if you had an understanding of the biological mechanism that the observer is using to observe the reality, and you sort of wanted to go, okay, how do we trick them to think it's a globe? Then you would set these measurements based on, you know, you reverse engineer the system based on the observer's technology, you know, the technology of the eye. So,
once you could see further than three miles, for argument's sake, that's when the alarm bells start going off. And then when you start seeing 20 miles, you go, hang on.
Yeah, once you get into the modern age, and people have got infrared optics and stuff, and then some guys are getting like almost 1,000 miles. You're like, oh, hold on, what's going on here? You know,
yeah,
it's a bit.
It's all, yeah.
Yeah,
it is a bit.
So you don't really have an opinion on the shape of the Earth. You're sort of like me.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I'd say that I'm sort of I'm close to being almost with most things in general. My default is almost always, if everyone believes it, it's definitely wrong. You know, if it's the standard, if it's the standard narrative, it's probably not true. So right. Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb there, actually.
Are you a baller skeptic then?
Probably, yeah.
What can we label? All right. Mm. Do you have a take on Napoleon's favorite topic, Antarctica?
Yeah. I mean, is there stuff beyond it, and that's why it's on lockdown? You know, there's obviously something going on there, isn't there? So there's obviously some...
Maybe there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got the 62-degree latitude, they get down there and it's a bit of ice. I'm not saying there's an ice rink or anything like that, but, you know, it does resemble a brain, and most of the people go down there are masons. What we're told happens down there is every country agreed not to pollute it. I've got a funny feeling it's just like a meta real estate scam, you know.
Is it cool?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a... If it's a I kind of think, are we in this kind of like...
They postulated the South Pole before they even discovered it, so, you know, and these men who were on the level, you know, these are the ones that supposedly discovered all the things, and we, as we know, they do like tricking us, so, yeah. It's as plain as the silver nose on your face, really, to me. But having said that... you know, if most people believe that, I'm pretty much on board with you there, it's usually wrong. So to say there's a massive ice continent at the bottom of a ball, maybe not. But that's pretty much where I'm up to with that place now. The stories are brilliant, though. You know, Agartha, Middle Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, like, is there some, like, land beyond it, and everything's, like, sort of Lord of the Ringsy and a bit hobbity and all... Giants and all that sort of bollocks, yeah. What?
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I bet either way, whatever's down there, I bet there's two big pillars, because that's the only thing you can be bleeding sure of, that these masons have been there and seen two big pillars. They're sticking them everywhere. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? You get there and there's a big sun in the sky, a checkerboard, and a load of people stood up on some stairs.
Yeah. Or it's, JLB was talking about that, Room 13 or Floor, whatever that film is, you know, where they drive out.
Oh, yeah, Floor 13. I've still not seen that. I hope it doesn't spoil it for me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I started to watch it. I couldn't watch it. Boring the crap out of me.
You need to watch Back to the Future first, and then Die Hard, and then Back to the Future again.
I think I watched Die Hard 1.
But
yeah, that's classic.
What about the whole...
Die Hard 2 is the best.
Well, Die Hard 2 is about planes being hijacked and crashed, and you don't see any really much of the plane after it's crashed. It's pretty much like Shanksville, and one of the planes actually does take the same route as one of the planes that never crashed on 9/11 or 7/11.
Really?
Yeah, that's on, I think, Calcified Life is linked to that. Oh, I mentioned something about it. Most of my stuff's secondhand. Like I say, I stand on the shoulders of the giants. It's great. And the heads and the hands to get up there.
There's one of the diehards got the gold heist as well, hasn't it?
Yes, Die Hard 3.
And that's the whole, the 9/11, the vault, sort of the missing gold rumours or whatever, you know, all of that as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good one. And it also has people in it who are characters who actually sound like the witnesses from the September the 11th, the day. So if you get a chance to watch it again, and then go back and watch September Clues, and you'd be like, he sounds like him, it's all these, playing New York accents, yeah, oh my God, I couldn't believe it, you know, and all this, it's funny, but that's your pre-programming, for you.
Or maybe it's just the same script writers and directors are just probably using their own material.
Yeah, I call it prehabilitation now, that's all it is, it's just, this is the way it is, get ready.
Oh, do you ever think that there'll be a great apocalypse, which is a revelation that people will just wake up
and figure
all this out?
In 2020, when we'll see clearly, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, ever. I don't give a deadline.
I don't know. I don't. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I sort of wonder, is that how it used to be and everyone sort of, not everyone was deceived, everyone was sort of seeing what was going on and there wasn't a big sort of, panopticon global control structure, and then at some point something happened and it kind of flipped, and is there some awakening thing going on and all this other bullshit? I don't know. I mean, it's probably nice to think that it will, but I don't know. I mean, to me, I just think, like, the level of control that whatever the thing is, the level of control that it has, I don't see how it goes back, And also, I don't even see enough of the full picture to know, is it necessary? Are there things that are just so far beyond our knowledge that if we were to learn them, we'd be like, oh yeah, you needed to do 9/11, you needed to do all this other stuff. So I don't know. I mean, if no one's dying and it's all just a big joke, is it even that bad? I mean, is it just kind of like it's more the people's fault and they get what they deserve because they believe it?
Yes. What's your view on nuclear science, nuclear power?
Oh yeah, I think that's a bit of a. I think that's another one of the big old sort of fearmonger scare tactics and all of the.
How dare you? Einstein's a genius. These are all genius men. All our education's based on these.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? So once you wipe that out and start saying none of these worked out, like that was fake. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We need to wipe out modern civilization, and it wouldn't matter. Just wipe out all the myths and tell everybody, look, we told you all that was magic. No one would be asked, as long as there's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, as long as there's Wi-Fi.
So we replace Wi-Fi, nuclear weapons with Wi-Fi.
So what is your take on that, Otto? Real or no real?
No, I don't think it. Yeah, I don't think it is. I think all of the. Again, it's another one of the things where. When I was, when I was sort of younger and watching the sort of, the videos of the Tsar bomb and things like that and all the different tests and sort of like the trees. Don't those trees look a bit too aligned and a bit too sort of everything looks a bit modelly and you've got this explosion that's dematerializing a building but the camera's fine and it's all a bit. Yeah, the effects are all, the effects look like some of the effects look like they've, when you heat a celluloid film and it kind of pops and bubbles and things, and some of it looks like these old practical effects on celluloid and stuff, and all of the bombing pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, how come so much stuff's intact? it should be like dust, no? How come it's all intact? How are there like apparently these accounts of people that are within the sort of within the blast that lived?
All them Jesuit, John Jesuit priests got away with murder, didn't they?
Mm.
For the thought of it,
how do you even drop the bomb and get away from it?
Never thought of
the science behind it and power.
I don't know enough of the science to say, oh, it is, I believe it or not. I do think with the whole power collection, even since a kid, I've been into the whole sort of, there is an ether, and is all of our power actually pulled from the ether, and are all of these old buildings that look like they've got big coaxial antennas and big waveguides on the top of them, all of these domes and all of these different sort of scoops, and apparently all of these things that used to be filled with mercury, and they've got a lot of these stone buildings have got all bloody metal cores coming through them and all this other stuff, and big earth straps and things, and is there some static electric harvesting going on with all the power lines and stuff? Maybe there is. Maybe the whole thing's all a load of is all just another show, or all those stations are being used for something else. You know, like I'm not even sure about the whole water being hydrogen and oxygen thing. And how.
Yeah, they'd be none left. It'd all evaporate, wouldn't it? And we'd be left. Everyone would be dead.
I'm just thinking, like, is it actually being when you've got your anode and cathode in us, and you're doing some electrolysis? You know, are the gases actually coming from the materials that the anode and cathode are made of? Because they're the things that are eroding, and it's just water, the thing that is corroding them, basically, and sort of more of a, I guess now, especially in the last sort of 8 months or so, I'm sort of allowing myself to go further into the mindset of a sort of alchemical sort of approach to science, or a more sort of natural science approach to things. And, you know, it's like the whole jet fuel hoax thing as well. I just don't believe the fuel loads and all the masses they're claiming. I think it doesn't fit in the whatever inside of my mind is the simulator of the physical model of my reality. The masses that they're telling me for things don't make sense, man. You know, I just finished like a sort of project helping restore this big old massive classic yacht, and the thing's fucking huge, 70 odd foot long, and it weighs 35 tons. I mean,
wow.
So I'm just, you know, and I just look at the amount of material in it and the weight of the material and everything, and, you know, I put that material in there, and then I go and look at I go and get on the plane, and I look at what's in it, and I just think, how could it, you know, you're telling me that there's sort of 250,000 litres of fuel in a...
No, no.
You know, in a... I see that mass that they're telling me, and I go, well, how many of those boats is that? And I go, nah, that's not solid.
Well, if he was to go in one of the Ball Earth Skeptic channels, I've pinned a few bits to do with that there. But you remember, they do have a special engine that they have to literally start up, that turbine that, you know, they have to get running first. So no one really knows the efficiency of a lot of these engines. We know what they claim they are.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, these are news things that are tweaked, and obviously, I think a lot of the engines were replaced in 2012.
Yeah, I've got an uncle who works for Rolls Royce, and he actually works on the fuel, like the refueling, like, you know, the refueling panels. I think he has something to do with that. And obviously,
Did you ask him? He'd be a good guy to ask.
I know, I haven't talked to him about it yet, but, you know, I've got a strong feeling that if it is fake, you know, he's not going to tell me any of it anyway. And he may not even know, because I think that they're so, they're so partitioned off in their own individual departments. These guys don't really know. I know some girl that when I was studying engineering, who's gone off to work at, she went off to work at Rolls-Royce as well, and what is she doing? She's doing some, like, materials engineering, and sort of, she's, like, her knowledge is so cloistered that I talk to her about things, and it's just like most subjects in engineering she doesn't even have a clue about. She doesn't know how anything really works, but she just knows her very small little path of knowledge, but that's all she really knows. And I just think, well, if she's like that, and that's the sort of person they're hiring, like, how, and sort of my experience from just studying, I didn't complete my engineering studies, because I thought what I was getting taught was a load of bullshit, so I left after sort of a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, I saw that a lot. There isn't a holistic approach towards the learning. Everyone's hyper specialized. They don't really understand how the broader scheme works. They just understand how the bit that they're told about works. You know, even at university, when we're talking about the dynamics of flight, they're still giving us the old bullshit of like, oh, we've got Bernoulli, but we can't really properly explain how the planes are flying. It's like, so, you know, they're still giving it to you there, even in, like, the university, the lecturer is telling us, like, we can't really properly explain it. It's just another one of those red herrings to me where it's like, well, yeah, probably because it's all a big cover-up. I think the whole thing with the engines is similar to the whole Victor Strauberger thing with all the sort of the vortex generation stuff and sort of having different fluid flows sort of implode on themselves, and maybe there's sort of some, I don't know, a sort of acceleration of force or somehow through that, and that's kind of part of the principle that these engines are working on, and the way that, you know, that, did you ever listen, see any of that Jones Sanoj guy on YouTube?
No, I've never heard of it.
He does it. I mean, I don't know how on the how.
Yeah, you know, I knew you mean.
How? Yeah, I don't know how right he is or how wrong.
Give him a link.
Yeah, I'll post something up. But I think
yeah,
that
put
maybe.
It in the show notes.
Yeah, I think that maybe he's onto something with the whole, like Fibonacci spiralized, kind of corralling of flow of fluid to sort of harness some extra sort of extra level of lift or something, and then that's why in nature in the tornadoes you see all these sort of, you know, these similar flows and things, and I don't know, I just kind of all
that
of the
sounds like Nick research.
yeah he was
we're getting into Judy Wood territory.
But yeah, is that something to do with it? It's interesting that all of these modern engines now, the what they call, you know, like the pods where they mount on the wing, you know, you used to be common that the engine was right under sort of the leading edge of the wing, and now all of the engines are pushed out forwards of the wing, and
okay.
Oh, Brian Staveley will tell you that's Mandela when they changed the planes.
I think a part of pushing those engines forward is it's similar to like the blown diffusers in Formula One and stuff, is they're blowing the wing with the thrust from the engine.
Definitely. We can't, it's near enough cancelling out the weight of the engine, which is you know what I mean, that's a big bonus there.
Have you ever seen
you don't have to put it under the wing, do you, for a start? Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there's some about the whole vortex flows. There's a lot of in like light aircraft and stuff recently in the last few years, sort of a quick, cheap way to gain sort of a efficiency with minimal drag is to have these sort of like these little, almost like a long sort of T-shaped bit of sort of aluminium.
Yeah, it's called a splitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like almost like a splitter type thing. Yeah, and they'll put them at angles on the wing, and they create like a little vortex. You know, you get these vortices coming off the trailing edge of these little splitter type things.
It's the equivalent of sanding something that, you know, that's got sharp edges, it's so easy to touch. Imagine the touch is the wind, so you put these on it, and it makes it all into a little vortex, like you say. When you visualize it, it's amazing. Is that Jones and the Jones that's putting visual on as well, do you know, because I click on that many videos and
that Jones Fenoge, it's just Jones and then Jones spelt backwards,
and he's on YouTube
and he does a lot of stuff about like platonic solids and things like that, and it's actually, I don't know, as soon as you hear what he's saying about it, I'm not that he's definitely right, he might be completely barking up the wrong tree, but I don't know. There's something about it that kind of sort of pokes some underlying sort of string inside of me that goes, yeah, there's something there with that. There's something there with all of this geometry that's in this whole, you know, like I now, because of the whole sort of questioning space and everything else, I'm not really an atheist anymore, you know. I never was fully atheist. I was always kind of agnostic because you can never know. But now I kind of go, I look around and I say, it's kind of hard to deny that we're in a fucking, there's some form of intelligent design going on. So all the sort of different platonic solids and everything and all the interrelationships with all this different geometry, I don't know, it seems like there's kind of an underlying design and that a lot of these different technologies are exploiting the knowledge of this sort of, this hidden knowledge of the underlying design of whatever this place is. So, yeah.
It seems the only thing that doesn't make sense is the spinning ceiling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything falls into place.
Yeah.
Nature-wise and vibrational-wise. And, you know, you're breaking down these things. The only thing that doesn't make sense is that up there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like the, it's like the, what's the, what is it? The, you know, the different frequencies creating different shapes and things.
Cymatics. Cymatics.
Yeah, cymatics and how in all of these, you know, in all of these cathedrals, they're all filled with these different cymatic patterns and the sort of, the layout of the cathedrals and all the volumes, like, if you sort of learn a bit about speaker design, and about how, you know, how you design the internal volumes of speakers and stuff, I put my sort of engineering goggles on and I look at all of this stuff and I go, oh yeah, that's a technology. That's obviously a technology. Like, it seems that way. I'm not saying that it is, I don't know, but just something is like based on other stuff I observe, technology wise in different fields, then I look at that stuff and I go, oh yeah, that's also some form of technology there. So there's a reason why there's a specific adherence to this, to these specific forms that are really fucking difficult to build. Like, someone's gone to all of this effort and a hell of a lot of research and knowledge to build, you know, to build all this stuff, and you know, you just got to kind of, we can't even get close to it now. Like, how are they doing that without, before they even had technology, motorized vehicle or anything? You know, like, what the fuck is going on? None of it fits. None of it makes any sense.
What's your take on dinosaurs?
Yeah, I think that's bollocks as well. Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, if you're going into a museum, and you're seeing the big. I remember actually when I was studying, you know, when I was in doing my foundation year engineering, and you know how it is. You go in and you do an hour and you've got the whole day off. So I'd go to the science museum and stuff, and I'd look at the space stuff and think, that's a bit ropey. It looks a bit shit, but they must have so much knowledge beyond me that, yeah, it must work and whatever else. And then you go into the Natural History Museum and sort of, you find out that, most of the stuff there is not actual bones. They're all just plaster casts of...
Yeah, it's replicas, you know,
Yeah, it's all replicas. And I'm just like, well, how do I even... Like, to what extent is... What extent of it is it real, then? You know? Like, I don't know. I don't really believe any of it anymore. I don't believe the sort of the Darwinian model. I mean, I don't know. All I got to do is see a few sort of think everything's bullshit anyway, and then see a few pictures of Darwin doing the, you know, code of silence or some hidden hand and some little hand signal and stuff, and I'm just like, interesting. maybe that's one not to believe as well.
Yeah, Pauline is pretty much a fake girl. Well, it seemed like it fit the profile of a fit, which,
yeah,
I guess is why you're here. Pretty good.
Yeah. But like,
sorry, mate, I missed that.
If anything, they want to get in. Just go to the fake. On the right, join the Discord.
Hey, you're breaking up.
Yeah, there's a few in there that could come in and say hello. Hello, 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 hello. Look, lads, I'm going to have to drop. Anyway, I've just got to do something. I'm probably back in. Yeah, I'm just going to have to drop for a bit. I'll pop back in a little while. Take care, everyone. See you soon.
Take care. Also, how long have you been lurking in Discord before you decided to join in?
I think I've been in like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, but how long were you looking into the Discord?
I didn't look into the Discord much. I was just sort of going on the site and listened on the like podcasts and stuff on my phone. And I went on work things. So
all right. Yeah. Well, how far back have you gone in the audio chats? How far back have you gone?
Yeah, I haven't really gone back. I just just wherever I started, I went forwards, and I haven't gone back. Okay. So I guess from hearing stuff, I know the some of the different passing dramas and things like that, and all some of the voice changer stuff and things with Faye and Rachel and things like that. But yeah, I don't really know. I haven't really gone back. But I guess
even on Fakeologists, there's drama. Wherever there's people, there's drama.
People
love drama.
Yeah.
It overrides the base subject for most people.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was even every now and then I just sort of I'd get sick of it as well because there would be too much.
Yeah.
It's just like I just want to hear about this because I'm thinking these things and I feel really crazy thinking this shit. And it's comforting to hear some other people talking about it. And when I hear them talk about it, I sort of feel like, wow, these are some of the most, a lot of these people anyway, seem like some of the most rational people I've heard from in a long time.
Yeah.
And they don't sound like nutters. So maybe I'm not a nutter as well, but maybe I am. I don't know.
This is a collection of nutters. But good ones. Some good ones.
Yeah, at least the good ones.
Well, that's the purpose of the site, really.
Yeah.
It's just to let people air everything out and
see where it
collectively
goes
around the world, there's not that many of us. It's a great concentrated piece of software to bring everyone together on the site. Helps.
But how many do you reckon are like listening to the actual podcast and things?
Oh, probably a couple thousand. I'd say a couple.
But only what? You don't think more than that?
There's really no way to tell. Everyone should tell because just because someone downloads something doesn't mean they listen. My phone downloads 100 podcasts a night. I listen to about 5 of them.
Yeah, but do you get...
They wouldn't know.
Do you get iTunes stats and things like that or not?
No.
Oh, okay.
iTunes is just a portal. If someone downloads the file, it comes off my server, so I can count it. That's irrespective of iTunes. iTunes just points people to the site.
Okay, so you still get a count if someone listens on iTunes or downloads?
I don't know if they listen via iTunes. I don't really know if they come to me from iTunes. But I know when the file is served up from my server to their phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, iTunes is not a host. They don't host the file. They're just a portal that people go through. To get to the file.
Yeah.
It's a convenient portal that I'm sure almost all Apple people use.
Well, yeah,
there are other ways on the Apple.
No, I'm stuck on the iPhone at the moment, so.
There's another good podcast player called Overcast for iPhone.
I can't get any apps on my iPhone.
Oh. Therefore, I can measure all the downloads pretty accurately. But I don't know who's listening, and that's why I say anyone who's listening, just send me an email or a small donation, and I'll know you're listening. That's about it. That's really the only way you can tell.
Yeah, so what? You're saying you get like 2,000 downloads per podcast?
I would say 1 to 2,000 of full downloads. If someone just clicks the play button on the website, I can see. I can't see how long they stayed on the website. I can just see that they did do a partial listen. I don't know how partial the listen is.
Yeah.
Could
that's
be
crazy.
2 seconds. Yeah, I get the file on your phone. Just listen to half an hour of this file. There's no reporting at all.
Yeah, yeah. I would have just thought that the download numbers would be so much higher. But yeah.
No, I don't know. We have probably just a lot of hardcore fakeologists.
Yeah, I'm surprised that
people.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's so that the whole sort of that it's that rare though, because it's to me it's probably one of the better like in the whole sphere.
Yeah.
Probably one of the better places. No?
I think it's the best.
Oh yeah, I'd say that as well, but I don't want to blow too much smoke.
Yeah, I don't want to. I think it's the best. If there was a hold on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I think it's just hard to find.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It definitely is hard to find.
But that's the internet for you. And the big corporations that control the biggest sites, they don't let on where we are.
So say if someone posts like this on Reddit or something, does it just disappear straight away? Did you hear that or not?
Go ahead, try again.
Right, so if someone posts like post this or links or whatever on Reddit to Fakeologists, does it just disappear then?
Well, I don't know Reddit. I don't know if Reddit. Why don't you could try? I don't know if someone's clearing Reddit.
Yeah, because it is a big sort of it is a big old limited hangout, but it's also like the big, you know, the big place that sort of it's kind of the first place anyone goes, I guess, as they sort of start.
I don't know. I went 4chan, 8chan. I never get links from there.
Yeah.
Of course, I never go there either, but I hear them all the time with these simulated terror events. They always bring alternative dark websites, but I don't go there. I don't go everywhere every day. I have my favorites like everybody else.
Yeah, that's another thing that about the New Zealand as well is that you're telling me that some like 4chan or 8chan shitposter thinks that 9/11 is a real thing. Like, like how does it even fit with the sort of person that's there? It doesn't even, you know,
no, that's
doesn't even fit the profile.
Our officials are creating these fake stories. They certainly don't want to introduce Korea. That's more proof. Whack job. Not some Alex Jones disciple, although Alex a lot of official narrative too.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you made it here. I like hearing new voices, as you know. There's been a ton of
yeah, no, it's
coming
it's been
here.
Good.
We'll give inspiration.
No, it's been
give
good because it's
to others.
It's been good finding it over the last sort of since all the Vegas shit anyway.
Thank you so much. You can keep people that have stayed a long time on the channel, which is pretty neat, pretty important to me.
Yeah, there's people that have been around for years and years, aren't there?
Yes. I don't know if they're my handlers or they just like this.
Yeah, I mean,
I must have a handler too that I don't even know about.
There's definitely a few handlers about.
Yeah, there must be. Somebody must be handling me.
Yeah.
I suppose a good handler would not let on that he's handling. Just give me a minute here. Well, so it was nice chatting with you. I'm going to have my afternoon nap now.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it was good talk. Cheers.
It was a good talk. Thanks for joining in. Come in anytime. You're totally voice verified.
All right, thanks.
And if you do want to comment on fakeologist.com, you just have to log, create a profile there, and I'll approve that as well, since I know it's, but they're separate logins, Discord and Fakeologist.
Yeah.
So I'd be happy to have you there if you feel like writing stuff. You don't have to, obviously. A lot of people like talking and not writing.
Yeah.
Overall, it's the total experience. audio or good on you. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for the bumper. We'll put it in the rotation and see you next time. Yeah, if you want to post on Reddit, go for it. If you're there.
Yeah, I mean it's a bit of a dump, but I might.
Well, sometimes I get info over there, not necessarily on accuracy, other topics, but overall, it is a bit of a strange place.
Yeah.
Controlled, no doubt, by somebody, some corporation. Oh,
it's stepped up this week as well.
Oh yeah, this mosque thing is good for business. For everybody.
Yeah, they banned a load of different subs and things like that.
Oh, is that right? Well, banning just makes people want it more. It's a great marketing technique, isn't it?
No, I can't either.
Yeah, banning is a great marketing technique. Oh, I'm gone. All right, take care.
No, I can't hear anything.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I have a plan. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Hello.
Yes, I'm in the audio chat live stream. I brought you in. I'll bring Jairus in. Jairus, I just brought you into the audio chat live stream.
Yeah, I'm good.
Jairus just joined us. You are in
Geneva, Switzerland. Yes,
welcome.
Thank you. It's crazy speaking to you live.
Well, thank you. It's not that big of a deal. I'm just a person. Nick is here from New York via St. Petersburg. Say hi to
Nick. Yeah, hey. It's crazy because I heard your voice so many times. It's that it's strange. But of course, you are a normal person.
Oh, that's a very nice compliment. Hey, since I have you here, would you mind doing a bumper?
No problem, but I can't speak too loud because it's 1:30 a.m. there.
All right. Do you know the script?
Oh, it will be something like, "Hi there, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio," or something of that nature.
Yes, I'll put it in the show notes here, so you can look. Just go to the live stream show notes. Let's see here.
Will probably take me a minute because I'm new to the app, but I will find it eventually.
Yes, it's in the pinned messages under live stream chat.
Okay. Audio chat, live stream, main show live stream show notes. Okay.
Yeah, live stream chat underneath. And I've verified you now, so I've heard your voice, so you're verified. Okay. You can go in the audio chat live stream, no problem.
Okay, so the thing I see is a post from John Lebon from 18th of March.
Okay, yes. Go to the top title bar of the screen. You should see a pin, yes. A bell, a pin, and people.
Okay, second. Take some time to get to the top of the
screen. No problem. You're already doing well.
It seems there is many messages.
At the very top, when you press, did you click the pin?
I'm getting to the very top. Just 1 second.
No, I meant if you look on the top of the screen, you don't have to scroll. On the very top of the screen.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a
pinned message. Okay. Okay, so pinned message or channel setting? Pinned message, that would be.
Yeah, pinned message, and you should see at the top Rachel's message.
Okay, there is nothing. It's this channel doesn't have any pinned message yet.
Oh, you go to the live stream chat. Not the live stream show, no.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay.
So, audio chat live stream.
No, go to the live stream chat. It's right under the live stream show notes.
Okay.
Nick's got his hookup lights going.
On the app. I'm on the Samsung.
You're on the phone? Yeah, if you go to the live stream chat text channel, it's under live stream show notes.
Okay. Live stream chat. Okay, I'm there.
Okay, click on the pinned message on the top.
Okay.
Rachel's on the top.
I see it now.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jerris from Geneva, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Oh, perfect. That was real good. You got on the first take. Fantastic.
Yeah, maybe I was born to do this kind of thing.
Fantastic. Whereabouts in France are you?
Well, I'm not from France. I'm from Switzerland, but here we speak three languages. French, German, Italian.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm not paying attention. Sorry about that. Yeah,
at least you didn't call me Swedish.
Yeah, no. I don't know. So you said, I think, in the chat you spoke French.
Yes, I do. I do. The part of Switzerland where I live is French-speaking. But everybody there speaks English. Almost everybody.
Oh, understood. How long have you been following Fakeologist? And why did you decide to come into the Discord?
Oh, maybe on and off about 2 to 3 years. And I think maybe I could speak to somebody, find people with the same mind, have a nice chat, pastime, like everybody, I think.
Oh, very good, very good. Actually, that's very good.
I don't know many people conspiracy minded, you know. Most people I know are very, very basic, as I can say, so why not be here?
All right, that's very good. Very good to hear.
As I see it, it beats being on Netflix, watching a stupid show or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a good reason to come here. Very good, very good. Mm. And about how old are you?
I'm 34.
Oh, wow. We just had Alto, who's 31. So we got people in their 30s here. That's great.
Yeah.
I call you guys young. Nice. Young.
Not young anymore. Not young. When and if a big fight begin, we will not be the people fighting.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. Have you been in Switzerland all your life?
Yes, yes, I have been all my life. Different place, but all French-speaking place and all my life.
Oh, fantastic.
And fantastic. In Geneva, it's a kind of a conspiracy hub, as you can say, because there is the CERN, there is the UN, there is big thing going on.
So the last person we had from Switzerland was Faye, but she's left the server.
Yeah, I heard her, I think, maybe in November 2018, something. She had kind of a long chat, I think.
No, she had many audio chats, many, many.
Okay, that's the one I heard her, but she left.
Yes, she left. She's welcome back anytime, but
It's crazy because you see people coming, people going, but the real people that are really invested are always there, so it's cool.
Well, some people stay for quite some time, which is good, too.
Yeah, but life is changing because if you see when I was in my 20s, I did think I can do anymore. So maybe being conspiracy-minded, if I can say that, or believing in hoax or fake events, things that go with time in some people.
It's a difficult subject, you know, like no other subjects out there, really. Most people, the time they spend, the research, the effort, the attention goes to, you know, some meaningless stuff. This is different.
Yes, and it can be a depressing worldview sometimes.
Yeah. I don't think, actually, to me, depression maybe, you know, I have diagnosis, depression, whatever. But I think reasoning with stuff, questioning, finding some answers, being certain about what you think, knowing what's going on, you can pinpoint, it's coming from there, I see that and that. Reasoning with stuff like this is what, you know, psychotherapy does. I think it's, you know, beats all that PTSD or whatever diagnosis, you know, you have from those psyops.
Of course. I think it beat taking benzo, for example, but what I think is sometimes it can be alienating because you kind of alone. In my case, I am alone for this kind of thoughts, you know?
Absolutely. But I think, yeah, it's sad, I mean, alone, but this is what we got here. You cannot depend on the others. Knowing how much lies is out there, how it permeates the information field, how it's not just the media, not just the Hollywood, but it's a science, the hard science, and it's interwoven into everything we consume or exchange information. It's based on the lie, usually. Yes. You're always alone.
Yes, I'm always alone, but I think sometimes having like a network of people that are like-minded, it's good. It's not good to kind of staying with always the same people because you begin to not see what doesn't go in your way. But as I see it, it's very nice to have people. It's not nice to be alone in these things.
Oh yeah, they're successfully fractionalized us and pushed us to the dark corners of the internet. So it's hard to network, it's hard to have a sense of a community. That's happening, for sure.
Of course. And the thing is you can be close to people that have the same idea as you, but you can't be all the time with these people. You can't, you just can't. So it's kind of a lonely life, I say.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you made it here. Oh. I'm going to have to run now because I just wanted to check in with you, and you're verified on The Voice, Jairus. You can come into the audio chat live stream as you will, as you want. And anytime you want to chat with anyone, you can go to the live stream. Excuse me. But I just want to go ahead and talk with Nick as long as you want there. And you're on the live stream, of course, so you're being recorded and broadcast to the world. But yeah, Nick has a lot of good info as well. So the more interactions between like-minded people, the more information we can share and get out there.
Yes,
yep.
Very nice. Very nice to be here. And I think I will stay for a long time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, if you, I know you're in a quiet room. You have to be quiet, but if you could just up your audio just a bit, a little closer, just maybe make the mic closer to you.
Yeah, I would try that.
Oh, that's much better.
Okay, but I have to go too because it's kind of late here and I'm not leaving alone. So, but thank you very much. I'm happy to be here and I will be back soon.
Yes, and if fakeologist.com, the website, has a separate login. So if you haven't created a login there, just create one and wait 24 hours so I can approve it. A lot of people log in, register right away, and they say their password doesn't work. That's because I haven't approved it. You have to wait till I get the email. So if you want to log in as the same name, that'd be helpful. It's just easier to track who's who. That way you can post on fakeologist.com because that's a separate platform, of course, than the Discord.
Okay, I will do it tomorrow because now it's kind of late.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, that's fantastic that you joined up. And do you think you came here mainly because of the New Zealand big event? Is that why?
No. I have pondering coming here for a long time. And I thought that tonight I'm alone. Maybe it's the time.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, I've had quite a few new voices. It's either a coincidence or a coordinated effort or it's just random. I'll accept random for now, but obviously I'm very suspicious as a fakeologist.
And you get every reason to be suspicious, it's normal. But as I see it, every time there is a big event that is not very, very good in the realization, more people are coming to you. It's simple.
Yes, well, you found it before the great scrub, the purge on YouTube and all the other sites are really... Google is not helping anymore get people here, so it's always interesting who actually finds this area of the internet. Hopefully the registrars won't start scrubbing themselves as well. It's just a really slippery slope.
Oh yeah, the censorship hits you too. I noticed on the website those videos and stuff, WordPress, it is all over the place. This is really, you know. I'm surprised your website is still up.
Well, yeah, it's hosted. I have that hosted on just a regular shared space on the internet, and hopefully they don't succumb to pressures wherever they might come from. I don't know.
They received a request from some organization that deals with this internet, you know, stuff, and they were taking down videos left and right. This thing is, censorship is all over the place. Everybody's getting hit with strikes.
Well, I never got BitChute ever working. It never worked. It's supposed to be matching torrent peer-to-peer with playing videos. I never was able to play one video ever on that server. I don't know. It's not a server. It's a shared collaboration of people with the same video on their machine. But,
Are you talking about the IFP, Interplanetary File System?
Well, torrents. BitChute was a link to torrents, and they played the torrents somehow. But it never worked for me.
I watched some BitChute video on the Live Leak or this kind of sites, but I don't know if it came directly from BitChute.
Well... You can still share video. I have the file, and if you use the link that I put on the post, it'll load a program called Resilio Sync, and that will just put the file right on whatever device you're using, and then you can watch it with any player on your phone or your computer. And that's peer-to-peer. That's not hosted anywhere.
I saw a tweet from New Zealand Police Department, and they're saying that sharing of this video is illegal. They're going to persecute people who does that. I think they got already one guy, 22-year-old.
Well, 22 is the hoax code.
Yeah. Well, 22. 11.
There's nothing in the world that can stop people from sharing it. So I think it's just a marketing campaign Really?
Yeah, of course.
Pretend
yeah,
it's a real video.
The video is still on the Best Go. You can see it, no problem.
I think it's even on FakeTube still, actually.
They keep re-uploading it. It's trying to...
No, I think it's even on my site still. They said they took it down, but I'm still getting statistics.
No, I was not able to see it on your website. It shows they did not available.
The video itself, it's not really graphic.
Oh, yes, I see. Oh, you're right. This media was disabled. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's gone. You're right.
Okay, guys, I have to leave.
All right.
Have a nice evening.
All right.
Nice to talk to you. Take care. I got to go, too. Have a good night, everybody. And come back anytime.
Okay, thank you very much. Good night.
Good night. And good night, Nick, too. Yeah, take care.
Hi, my name is Jan Erik, and I recommend the Fakeologist because that's the place to get real truth and not BS.